He is in the light. All right, Hebrews 11. Every time we study God's Word together, it is highly profitable time and vitally important. And that's the way we ought to approach. I ought to approach the preaching of it, and you ought to approach the hearing of it. It's a life and death matter. It's vitally important. God said His Word would not return void. It would accomplish something every time He said. Every time we meet together under the sound of this Word, it is highly profitable, vitally important, and deserves our utmost attention. No one message is any more important than another. Anytime God is exalted, we are abased. Christ is exalted. The Word is founded. It's a good message. A good message. Now, this message is very important. Very important. I was greatly impressed with this passage of Scripture myself. Very neat. Very edifying. Now, right after the story of Abel, here in Hebrews 11, Abel being the sacrifice of faith, showing us Christ's blood, His sacrifice. That's the first example of faith, and the clearest picture or example of what faith is. It's an object, person. It's the person and work of Christ. All right. So right after that sacrifice of faith, now we see the walk of faith. Right after that, you see Enoch. He's the next. You see right after the sacrifice of faith, the object of faith, then we see the walk of faith. And that's really what Paul had concluded in chapter 12 when he said, therefore, he said, wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, he talks about, let us run with patience, looking unto our Lord Jesus Christ, the object of our faith. But let us run. Let's walk. Let's walk with faith. All right? All right, let's read verses 5 and 6 again. This walk of faith. If you're taking notes, have a four-point outline for you. Very easy to follow. All right, verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was translated. That word is transported. That he should not see death. He didn't die. He was not found, or says he disappeared. Because God had translated him, transported him from this earth. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, he's going to tell us here what faith is and how it was that Enoch pleased God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God, anyone who comes to God, is going to be with God, accepted by God, someday live with God, must believe that He is. And this is one time when I do not like the word they added here. We don't believe that He is a rewarder. Of course, we believe that, but what it's saying here is, he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. All right, now turn back to Genesis chapter 5 and keep Hebrews 11 marked there. Genesis chapter 5 is the story of Enoch. Not much is said about Enoch. A lot of words, but there sure is a lot of content there. It says he walked with God. That's saying a lot. But there's not much of an account of Enoch's life. It doesn't need to be. Wouldn't that be wonderful to put on your tombstone? If that's all that was said about you, that'd be all right. He walked with God. Well, you've often heard I've read the epithets or in a funeral or an obituary concerning some person who died. I've read things about them, which talked about their accomplishments and what they did and what they their education and where they've been, all this and that and the other. That's all rubbish, isn't it? This right here is the epitaph to have. He walked with God. All right, Enoch lived 365 years. 365 years. And he walked with God at least 300 years. Now, I'm not going to answer the gainsayers of the Word of God. This is tough. He lived 365 years, just like Methuselah lived 969 years. He lived that long. No, 900 and what was it? I forget. I didn't look it up. All right. 969. But he walked with God at least 300 years, and it says he was not, or he disappeared, for God took him. God took him. All right? Now, here's the four-point outline if you're taking notes. First of all, we're going to look at Enoch the man. The man Enoch. Secondly, we're going to look at Enoch's walk. Enoch's walk. Thirdly, Enoch's generation. Or the world that he lived in. And fourthly, Enoch's end. All right? Enoch the man. Enoch's walk. Enoch's generation. And Enoch's end. All right? Enoch the man. Here in Genesis 5, we see that he was just a man. He's not a super man. He's a man. Flesh and blood. He had the needs of a man, the necessities of this life that every man and woman has. He had the responsibilities of a man. He had the temptations of a man. Look at it here in Genesis 5, verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. That means he was a married man and he had a family. All right? And Enoch, verse 22, walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Now, a woman can have a child every 10, 11 year is reasonable, can't you? Enoch may have had as many as 200 or 300 children. You reckon he had a job? John? You reckon he had a job or two? Moonlighted? He had a job. He had a big family. He was married. He had a job. He had a big family. He had responsibilities. He had the needs. Oh, did he have needs? How much milk would it take? Bet he had cows. Well, Enoch was a man, and he was totally dependent on God for these needs. A married man with children, sons and daughters. He had a job to work, or jobs. He had problems. His problems in marriage, his problems in fatherhood, motherhood, aren't they? Trials. You reckon he had trials with his kids? He may have, at any one given time, he may have had 100 teenagers. Trials. You reckon? You reckon he had troubles? Problems? He's a man. He had 365 years worth of trouble. But he walked with God. We think we live long lives and have such a tough time, you know, and oh, when's it ever going to end? I just imagine that Enoch, so what about Adam? 930 years. Methuselah. When he was 968 years old, he thought, oh, I don't know if I can go on. Problems, trials, troubles, temptations, yes, but he walked with God. But he wasn't a superman. He's a man. He was a man. And to have that big a family and so forth, he couldn't have isolated himself from the world. He was not an isolated man. None of the characters in Scripture, none of these examples were isolated from the world. No. They were in the world, not out of the world, we're going to say. But they were in it. They had to do commerce with and dealings with and so forth, to live in it. All right. But it says he walked with God by faith. He walked with God by faith. He walked. And now, do you remember how I started this Hebrews 11 out by reminding us these people didn't have a Bible? And he walked in the light he had. He walked in the light he had and the grace God gave him. And you know, you walk in the light you have, God will give you more light. You walk in the grace he gives you, he giveth more grace. Give it more grace. Enoch was a man. And like all men, he was like all men except this. He walked with God. He walked with God. He believed God. We're going to see this the next point. He believed God. He walked according to God's word. And I'll keep repeating this. Since he walked with God, that means he is out of step with this world. You can't walk with God and be in step with this world. All right. Here's the second point then. Enoch's walk. Now, look at it again. Verses 5 and 6 in the Hebrews 11. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Hebrews 11, verse 5. He was not found. That is, he disappeared. God translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible. It's impossible. It is impossible to please God. All right, we've already looked at what faith is. What faith is. It's the life of God in the soul of a human being. It's eternal life. It's a regeneration. It's the gift of eternal life. It's the life the believer lives is by the faith of the Son of God. Enoch, this faith Enoch had was not something he produced. It was a gift. Enoch's faith was God's gift. Enoch didn't just up and one day decide, I'm going to walk with God. He didn't even know God until God revealed himself to him. Right? Faith is a gift. We're not going to brag on Enoch or magnify Enoch here. We're magnifying the grace of God to him. Enoch's faith was a gift. It was the sovereign grace of God that caused Enoch to walk with God. Nothing less. The sovereign grace of God. It had to be. He didn't have a Bible. He had no Bible. This was early in the time of God's purpose. This was thousands of years ago in God's purpose in time. Thousands of years ago before Abraham and before the patriarchs and before Jews and before law and before prophets and before Christ. Oh, it's the sovereign grace of God that this man walked with God. No Bible. Early on. Real early on. What did he know? What did Enoch know? He knew God is. He believed, knew God is. He knew the true and living God. Christ said, this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God. And what else did Enoch know? Jesus Christ, whom he would send. He didn't know the name Jesus, but he knew Christ was coming. And God would send him. He knew what Abel knew. Then Enoch's faith was a gift, and it came, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, where did he hear the word of God? Well, he heard it. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God, doesn't it? Huh? Faith is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. And faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How are they going to hear without a preacher? So Enoch believed God is God. He believed man is absolutely depraved, fallen creature. He believed that the Christ was coming, the gospel concerning the Christ, his blood, his righteousness. Where did he get all this? Well, there was an old man. He counted up here. There's a 530-year-old man named Adam that he talked to. Adam lived 300 years. 300 years after Enoch was born. And there's no indication. It seems to indicate to me that all these bunch of people, except for Cain's posterity, lived in and around Eden, where the garden was. Somewhere around Eden, over there, just sure it's over there in the Middle East somewhere. It says they were east of Eden. And don't quote me on this, but that Garden of Eden with the Tree of Life in it might have been right where the cross stood. At any rate, they lived somewhere in that area, all of them, all right? Adam, he talked with Adam for 300 years. What did Adam tell him? You reckon he told him about the fall? Huh? You reckon he told him about the woman's seed? Huh? You reckon he told him about Abel? You reckon he told him all this? Oh, yes. Enoch heard that. He heard of all these things. He heard the gospel. He heard the gospel. He heard that God is just. Adam told him. That's the first thing he told him, John. I guarantee you, he told Enoch, son, grandson Enoch, God's holy man. He will by no means clear the guilty. Oh, your grandmother, Eve and I, we were upright, created in the image of God, but we failed. We sinned against God. We rebelled against God, willfully rebelled. And we just fell into sin and darkness and death. And God kicked us out of the garden, and rightfully so. He should have wiped us out, but God. Enoch is merciful. He's gracious. He's love. But not at the expense of his justice. You see, he told us the woman's seed's coming. And Enoch, that woman's seed is going to be from God himself. It's going to be I just believe. You see, Eve thought that Cain was it, but it wasn't. You know, we've had many children since then. None of them are the Christ. They're all sinners like I am. So it's got to be a sinless seed. It's got to be a woman's seed. And I just kind of think it might be a virgin's son, a son of God. It's got to be God. He's the only one that, without sin, he's the only one that can save us. He's the only one that can live the life as a man that we need to live for us. God said, blood. Shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. It's the blood that makes the atonement. So you say, God didn't say that. He didn't say that to Moses. Oh, yes, he did. Oh, yes, he did. God tells all his children the same thing. They'll all be taught of God. Oh, same thing. And he went on, Adam went on and on. Enoch, son, Christ is coming, and Christ is salvation. And by God's grace, through a work of God's Spirit, Enoch believed God. trusted Christ, was looking to the Christ that was coming. And he began to walk from that day forward, walk by faith in Christ. The life that he then lived was by the faith of the Son of God, the Christ of God. All right. What he believed. He knew all there was to know. All he needed to know to be saved. And then I guarantee you, Adam told him, God's not mocked now. You got a diligent seeking. And that what it says there in our text, verse 6, he said, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Enoch, he'll be found of them that seek him with all the heart. All the heart. Give diligence to make your calling and election. Give diligence. Out of the heart. Diligent. You know what the word diligent, I looked up the word diligent, and it means to crave. David said in Psalm 27, he said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that's what I'm going after. Diligently seeking. David said in that same psalm, he said, you said, Lord, you told me seek my face, and so I said, thy face I'll seek. That's what it means. Craving. One thing have I desired, Lord. That's what I'm going after. Enoch, he'll not be found of you till you seek him like that. You seek him and nothing else. And you know what else it means, crave? It means to demand. Like David. I mean, like Jacob. Remember when Jacob, a man wrestled with Jacob? Now he started, the Lord started the wrestling match, didn't he? But old Jacob demanded something of him. That, now you know what I'm saying. This is fearfully and respectfully, but he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Until you bless me. That's what diligence meant. Use whatever means, every opportunity to hear it. Faith comes by hearing. You don't have faith? Young people, somebody, if you don't have faith, faith comes by hearing. Better be there every time it's heard. Diligent. He told Enoch that. And Enoch did. Enoch saw it. Diligent. It doesn't mean a one-time thing either. Enoch walked with God, he said, 300 years. He didn't make his decision and was baptized, and then that's it. He walked. He sought the Lord all the days of his life. Enoch walked with God. Now, something about this walking with God. One of my favorite verses, Amos 3, verse 3 says this. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed. So Enoch walked. Who walked with who? It wasn't God walking alongside Enoch. You know, like footprints in the sand, you know. Oh, no. Enoch walked with God. God doing the leading. Enoch walked with God. The two walked together except they be agreed. Enoch agreed with God about everything. You can't walk together except you be agreed. Nobody walks with God, doesn't agree with God about everything. I mean everything. Right? You know how we are. We walk along with somebody, we're talking, we get in a little argument or something, we're going to keep on walking together. We're going to say, go on, man. We agree with God about everything. Nobody walks with God who doesn't agree with God about everything. About who God is, about what man is, and what salvation is. Agree with God. Walking with somebody. When you're walking with somebody, when you're walking together, say Brother Henry and I are walking together. Now, if we're walking together, that means we're walking in same direction. But he can't be headed that way and I'm headed. We walk together, right? We're walking together in the same direction. And now, like I said, I'll keep repeating this. But God said, my ways concerning about man, he said, my ways are not man's ways. My thoughts, my way is not man's way. There's a way that seemeth right to man, but it's 180 degrees from God. It's opposite direction. We don't walk with God and walk the way the world's in. We walk the same direction. When you're walking together in the same direction, you generally have the same goal in mind. Like Brother Don and I walking up those peaks of honor, you know, we both want to get to the top. We both had this one purpose in mind, this one goal in our view. And isn't that what Hebrews 11 said? They that say such things say that they seek a city. If they'd been mindful of other things, they'd had opportunity to go back at a turn. But no, they that say such things declare, that's where I want to go. And who I want to go with. And when you walk with somebody, you can't walk together with anybody any length of time and not talk to them. You can, but I can't. I know you women can. Not 30 seconds. But when you walk, when you talk with somebody, don't you? You walk in village, you're conversing with them. You're speaking. That's what it means to pray without ceasing. Doesn't mean down on your knees. Doesn't mean you're in a certain posture. Doesn't mean you're speaking out loud per se. But it's a heart of a man and a woman or a young person that just goes out to God all the time. That thinks on things above and so forth. Walking with God. Enoch didn't have a Bible. Enoch didn't have a large church to attend. He didn't have what we have, but he walked with God. Talked with God. He didn't have a word. You know how God talks to us? Good word. Oh, doesn't he speak with us? Huh? All the great mysteries he makes. He didn't have a Bible. But he spoke to God. I believe God spoke to him. Enoch walked with God, and again, therefore, he was out of step with the world. He was out of step with the world. The world called him old-fashioned. They called him uncool. They called him straight-laced. They called him good at two-shoes. Narrow, bigoted. Nobody believes like you do. Nobody does that anymore. Don't you know, that's accepted by everybody now. It's permissible. It's the modern world, ain't it? And Enoch, I guarantee you, said, you just go the way you want to go. The way you think's right, it's destruction. Go it. One of my favorite verses, Psalm 119, 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Folks, this world pervades our thinking. We're bombarded with its thoughts, its opinions, its ways, its fashions, and so forth. Don't go that direction, young people. Don't go that way. It's destruction. Lead me in paths of righteousness. If it's out of step, big deal. Who cares? To be walk with God means you don't care what the world thinks. You don't care what the world's opinion is. You don't care what's the way the world's going. You don't care how they're dressing and acting and doing and talking and keeping up with the Joneses. The Joneses are going to hell. Enoch, where are you headed? I'm getting in line with you, buddy. Abraham, Jacob, world, people, it ought to, instead of us becoming insensitive to it and more like it, it ought to repulse us daily. The further it gets from God's Word and from, and it is, it's getting further and further and more and more perverse, and the worse it gets, the more it ought to nauseate us and repulse us, and the more we ought to shun it. Everything about it. I'm telling the truth. You walk with God, you're out of step with the world. Third, Enoch's generation. I look back at Genesis again. Look back at Genesis 4. You know, I don't apologize for getting upset. We ought to get more upset with ourselves. This thing ought to be so. We're living in perilous, perilous time. Dragging us and our children down. Just 60 years after Enoch left this planet, his great-grandson was born. His name was Noah. Does that tell you anything about today's people? The Word, you know, it makes a point to tell us these weren't cavemen. They weren't cavemen. They were brilliant, talented, gifted people. And it goes on to talk about them being artists and farmers and ranchers and musicians and so on and so forth. It tells that in chapter 4. I'm not going to read it for time's sake. A world full of people, much like today. Look at chapter 6, just before the flood. This is what God said about, yes, Enoch's generation. Verse 5, Genesis 6, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That was the generation that Enoch lived in. Sounds just like today, doesn't it? And I remind us that we should not be ignorant of this, beloved brethren, as Peter would say. In the days of Noah, our Lord told us, in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be, in the days of Noah. And that sure describes our day. But Enoch lived in his generation was wicked, maybe. Well, not necessarily more wicked. But you know, Matthew Henry and some of them believe that there were billions of people on the earth at this time before the flood. Billions. Enoch walked with God over 300 years. Now, like I said, I got to bring this to a close. Like I said, I'm not magnifying Enoch. This ought to just prove to us salvation. His times he lived in, the fact he had no Bible. Salvation is by the grace of God. The fact that Enoch walked with God when he did and how long he did without a Bible in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation magnifies the sovereign grace of God, doesn't it? And yet, God honors those who honor him. That's why this is written here in Hebrews. God honors faith. He sure does. God honors Enoch before us as an example of faith. Yes, He did. God honored Enoch. And He exhorts us to walk as Enoch walked in our generation. You know, and if you feel your sin like I do, you say, but I know, with man it's impossible. With God, all things possible. Is it possible to work in a factory and walk with God? Is it possible? It sure is. It sure is. Ain't it dead? 300. Can we make it, John? By God's grace. Yes, sir. He gives more. Well, Enoch's end, back in Hebrews 11, Enoch's end, verse 5, it says, he was not found. Because God had translated. God translated. By faith, he did not die. He was literally transported. That's what the word means. Taken up into God's presence one day. I love thinking about that. That he bid his wife goodbye one morning, went to work, and didn't make it. And the same thing's going to happen to all of God's children someday. He did not die, as all men do. Now, for reasons known only to God, Enoch did not die. Why? I don't know. But he didn't. Elijah did. Reasons known to God. Now, don't think it was because that Enoch was more righteous or better than everyone else. Don't think that for a minute. He wasn't more righteous than Abraham. Abraham died. Abel? Oh, no. Abel was a righteous man. He died. Noah? Joseph? They died. But it wasn't because he was a more righteous or holy man, but for reasons known to God. Right. Enoch was an extraordinary man, no doubt. Strong in faith. That's a gift. Godly man, yes. He lived a life, I'm sure he lived a life above reproach. Sure he did. But he was a sinner. Saved by grace. Yes, he was. Oh, yes, he was. He's a sinner. Saved by grace. He was accepted in the beloved. Yes, he was. By faith, he pleased God. And that faith is the faith of Christ. He was a sinner. And this was written, I believe, his story was written not only for our learning, to exhort us, to admonish us, to rebuke us, reprove us, encourage us in the faith, but like all stories, this is a type, a spiritual type. Look at Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1, and I close with this portion of Scripture. The word translated is only used three times in the New Testament. Translated. It's used there in Hebrews, and it's used here in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. And do you know, and I don't say this with presumption, but you know my end is going to be the same as Enoch? Yes, sir. And I'm not worried to tie that man's shoelace, I'm sure. But I've received the same gift that Enoch had. The same gift. I've accepted the same way. I please God the same way. Because I've heard the same doctrine. I have the same Lord. Same faith. Do you? Then your end is going to be what it is. Matter of fact, it is right now. You are right now as He is. Look at it here. Colossians 1, verses 3 through 5. Colossians 1, verse 3 through 5. He says, We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Verse 10. And he says, oh, walk worthy of the Lord. Walk worthy of the Lord. Walk with God. Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, unto being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partaker of the inheritance of the saints in life, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us. Hath translated us. Hath. He hath translated us into the kingdom. I am right now seated with Christ. Yes, I am translated spiritually. Spiritually, I have been trained, given life, regenerated. That's what the word translated. Changed. And by God's grace, I have been and am being made fit, meet to be partaker with the angel within it. He hath translated me, but someday he will literally, in a moment of twinkling of an eye. Enoch didn't know what it is. But he's glad it did. He walked one day right in the presence of God, and in a moment of twinkling of an eye, so shall happen. Bye. All right, let's stand. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your words of promise, good news, mercy, love, grace given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. We are so thankful. Salvation is by grace through faith, and even that's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. For with man, it's impossible. We're so thankful that it's by faith to the end, promise might be sure to all the seed. We're thankful. We thank you for this story. We thank you for this example of Enoch. Thank you that he lived and that you gave us this example, and ask that you would give us the same grace and strength that you gave him and his generation. Cause us to walk by faith. We pray to walk with thee, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We pray. And in Christ's name, we've met here and asked these things. Amen. You're dismissed.